do the one right across the page on 305. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Thank you.
day brings me closer to that beautiful gate where I'll lay down my burdens, receive a bright crown forever to live in my heavenly home. I've got a longing, I'm homesick to go. There's nothing but trouble in this world below. I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a longing to go. When I've prayed my last prayer, when I've sung my last song, and the death angel whispers, it's time to go home, 'twill be goodbye to friends whom I've met on my way, but I'll see them again on that homecoming day. I'm homesick to go to a land without heartaches, no sorrows or woes. There's nothing but trouble in this world below. I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a
No, that's all. Some can share whatever, I guess. Okay, what I'm giving tonight is what I gave out last year when we had our first Faith Promise Missions Conference when Brother Fry was here. What I want to do tonight, we just finished Ecclesiastes last week, and I want to review the principles of what the Bible has to say about Faith Promise giving. We just finished our second Faith Promise Missions Conference with Dr. Martin and the missionaries that were here. And sometimes it's good to be refreshed on some things. So we're going to look at this and just look at some verses tonight and just kind of review. It's good to review some things sometimes. Now, it says, what is faith promise? Okay? One thing that faith promise is not, it's not a pledge. You're not pledging to do anything. You are promising by faith, and many of you have done this. Many of you prayed about it last year, and you decided that you wanted to share and give in the ministry of missions. And so what you prayed about, I asked you to pray about it and to commit to give so much as God provided it. Now here's the difference between faith promise and tithes and offerings. Tithes, we're commanded to give to the Lord, 10%. Offering is something that you give over and above. Faith promise is what you promise God by faith and trust Him to give you to give. Okay? Can I say that again? Faith promises, when you promise in faith, that if God, that God will give you what you feel led of God to give to the cause of missions, you're going to give that as you pray and seek God's face. As I say, many of you have done that, and I appreciate that, and that's helped tremendously in our missions, trying to help our missionaries. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But let's just touch base and look at some things in your Bible. First of all, the Bible says that faith promise giving is scriptural. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The verses that we're going to be looking at are all through this worksheet, if you will. And so we're just going to be reminded of some things. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 12. It says, "For if there be first a willing mind." Now think about that word or that phrase, a willing mind. Now, not all of us are called to missions. What I mean by that is not everybody in here is going to Antigua, New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, Chad, Africa, Tokyo, Japan. Okay? Every person that goes to the mission field, all the missionaries that were here during our missions revival, had a willing heart. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. But there are people that would love to be able. Let me just use an example. All right, Brother Buddy would love, I'm sure, to be able physically to go to the mission field. He's not able to do that. He has a willing heart. So what does he do? He does the next best thing. He is not a goer, but he becomes what the book of Romans chapter 10 talks about as a sender. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about here where the Bible is talking about the fact that it is that there is a willing heart. "For if there first be a willing heart, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Okay? What is faith promise missions? It is having a willing heart. And it's saying, "Lord, I'm willing to give what you want me to give for the cause of missions." Okay. Now it says, "According to what a man hath, not that he hath not." Now you say, if I had $1,000 extra a month, I'd give it all to missions. That's not what it's talking about. Not what a man does not have. What do you have? It's like the story of the pig. And, well, like the lawyer, there was a lawyer that came, and he was talking to this farmer, and they were talking about things. And the lawyer looked at him and said, "Well, you know what, if you were going to," he said to the farmer, he said, "Now, if you had 100 pigs, would you give those extra 100 pigs to people that were in need?" And the farmer said, "Yes, sir, I would sure do that. If I had 100 pigs and people needed it, I'd give 100 pigs." He said, lawyer said, "All right, what if you had 50 pigs and somebody had need, would you give 50 pigs?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "If somebody had need and I had 50 pigs, I'd give 50 pigs." The lawyer looked at him and said, "But sir, what if you had 2 pigs?" He said, "Sir, that's not fair. You know I got 2 pigs." And see, that's about the truth of it, because it's not what a man doesn't have. You can say all that. I hear people say this. They'll say, "Boy, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give the church $1,000. No, you wouldn't. Because once we get it, it's like, "Well, I got so many needs. Maybe next go around." You know, that type of thing. So it's not based upon what a man does not have or wishes that he had. What about what we do have? What's within our reason? What's within what we're able to do for the cause of Jesus Christ? Now, let's look over chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. "Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God loves a cheerful giver. I heard somebody say one time that when the offering is passed, that a cheerful giver is somebody that will reach down, take a dollar bill out of their wallet, look at it, and laugh at it. Ha, 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 when they're getting ready to put it in the plate. Now, I don't know that I've ever seen that done, but you know it's a good principle. Because, you know, that we what do we do? What's to be done? I mean, we have bills to pay. We have groceries to buy. We have daily living. But, you know, should we not take of our material possessions to help plant the seed for spiritual things too? And we should. And so he talks about being a cheerful giver. And it says, and when you give, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now understand what it's not saying. It's not saying that you're going to be a millionaire. This is one of my pet peeves about these televangelists on TV that tell you that you ought to be a millionaire. You ought to, if you give, you know, God's going to give you all. And it's just not right. It's not right. It's not biblical. It's, if that's true, then the majority of the Christian world or globally is just as out of the will of God as it can be, because the majority of Christian people are not rich. And yet you get this idea, listening and watching these televangelists, they come, there's one, I know one televangelist, his name is Jesse Duplantis, and I don't know if you've ever watched him. I watched Jesse, two preachers that I like to watch because they're funny. One is Ernest Angley. Ernest is going to be 90 years old if he isn't already. And that man is a hoot. I've laughed at him for years. And he'd just come in and just pop you in the head, you know. And it's just this fella, he's funny. Second one's Jesse. Jesse got some of the corniest jokes. But both these men are as wrong doctrinally and biblically as they can possibly be. Because they teach, Jesse is big on teaching prosperity theology. And if you ever watch his program, he's got this church now in Louisiana, and this thing is expensive. I mean, they have a marble pulpit. I mean, all of these things. And it's like, no, what a, to me, that's a waste of money. You know, what if somebody wants to come and break in that church and steal that marble pulpit? Don't think they're not. You know, you've heard that there are people that are being, that are going to churches now and going, especially if they have their heating and system and everything, you know, air conditioning, and they're going into the back of churches and stealing those units. That's going on right now. I forgot one of the churches that I would mention that you would know, but I can't place it, but I know of two or three churches that people have gone in and done that. And so, you know, just a lot of different types of tragedy there. But anyway, faith promise is scriptural, it's biblical. Second DART says it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to administrate the missions program through the individual giver. It involves every member. It is an act of faith. Let's look for a second over in the book of Hebrews. You're not too far from there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, when we talk about faith, sometimes we think, and we take money and put money beside faith, and that's all we think about, and that's not all there is to it. But unfortunately, there is a portion of it there. That if we're going to try to help missionaries, then we're going to say, Lord, is it number one the will of God for missionaries to go to the mission field? The answer to that is yes. All right, how are they going to get there? Now, I agree with this in principle, but I don't think it's practical. There are churches that have a program where they're trying to do missions giving, but this is what they do. Four or five churches will come together, and among those four or five churches, they will give huge, substantial amounts of money to help a missionary get to the field. Pros and cons. Pro, the missionary will get to the field quickly. Con, what happens if the church has a financial setback and can't take care of that amount of money? We're talking about what could be the equivalent of $1,000 a month. And what if the church can't do that? So there's pros and cons in that. So is it the will of God that churches help missionaries? Yes, because all churches work together, as we heard from our missionary testimonies, and we heard from Dr. Martin and his testimonies about missions. It is the will of God that we work together as churches to try to help these folks get onto the field. It's an act of faith, and we give, and we believe that God is going to do that. Next thing, it says it's a goal for the giver. Should we have a goal? I think we should. I think it's important to have a goal. To help people, to be able to say, I'm praying for this missionary. I'm praying for, you know, and we read their letters and we see what's going on in their lives and we pray for them and we get their prayer cards and you know, I think it's interesting that most of us, you know, and even missionaries will tell you this, they suggest that we put prayer cards on the refrigerator. And I think that's funny. Why? Because we eat. And if you're going to the refrigerator and you see a prayer card, then it's a good thing to stop and say, now, Lord, before I get this bologna sandwich, would you bless this missionary? Nothing wrong with that. It's okay. It's all right. It's part of faith, praying, giving, having a goal. Then it says an organized approach to missionary giving. Okay? And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here at this church. Many of you are giving an offering for organized missions. We're saying, okay, this much money is designated to go to this missionary, yada, 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 that type of thing. And it's local church centered. Now, there are people who believe that you shouldn't give tithes to the church. Let's look at this practically. If we don't give tithes to the church, how do the lights get paid? How do bills get paid? How does things get done? Okay? And you've talked to people. I've talked to people. Well, I don't believe in tithing. You know why they don't believe in tithing? Because God has not gotten their heart. If God gets your heart, he'll get your wallet. They just work hand in hand. And you show me somebody that doesn't want to give, and I'll show you somebody that has not understood that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. And if Jesus gave everything he had, then what am I? We don't give much. I think it's awfully kind of the Lord only to ask 10%. He could ask 90%. But I mean, 10% is fair. Now, you know what's going on in the world of politics right now. If you haven't, let me update you a little bit. Big tax push going on right now. President Obama has this big plan. And this big plan says very plainly, I mean, I've heard it on the radio, seen him say it on TV, that he wants the rich to pay the big portion and to take care of the people that maybe either can't pay taxes or won't pay taxes. And, you know, that's not fair to the rich. Now, that might sound strange to say that. But you know what? I'm gonna say this with face value. I want to believe that the rich, I'm not going to say they do, but I want to believe that the rich were honest in getting their money. But if they're not, that's their business. They don't need to be penalized just because they're rich. Okay? And God said to everybody, poor or rich, 10%, and that's fair. There's nothing wrong with that. So that means if a millionaire has $250,000 that he brings in a month, that's still a pretty big whopping tithe. $2,500 tithe right there, that's pretty good. Well, you got a poor person makes $1,000 and they've only got $100, but you know what? It's fair. You can't ask for anything any more fair than that. And God knew exactly what he was doing. And of course, we know that he says that when you give 10%, then 90% God amazingly makes those things take place. Okay? And it's just, you just look and you marvel, saying, man, Lord, look what you did, Lord. My goodness, I wasn't expecting that. And that's so much the way it is. God brings and does things that we don't always expect. Now look at the next thing. Faith promise is not a pledge. We are not. When we talked about this and brought to the church last year, and I shared with you the same principle, nobody's asking you, nobody's going to come, nobody's going to give you a card and say, put your name on it and do this. We just said, if you will pray about giving something and write it down and turn it in, we don't want to know what your name is. Because this is a promise between me and God, not between me and, per se, the church. Okay? Or even the missionary. But it's between me and God, and I want to give it to glorify God. It's not something that someone's going to collect. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's go back here for a second. We were just there a minute ago. 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 12. Just looked at this verse. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. All right? offering plate is passed. You know why somebody gives? Because they have a willing heart. They're willing to put it in. Okay? Just that simple. That plate comes, if you've got it. There are people that have offerings in their wallets, they're just not going to give it. Okay? And if they do, I remember some of the old TV shows. I can't remember if it was Andy or which one it was, but there was. I remember one where they sent the plate years ago, and it was a plate, and somebody acted like they had money, and they'd put the money in, and then they'd go. You ever see that? And they're acting like there was a quarter or something in there, and when they put it in, they'd reach in and go, like they put that money down in there. It was no money to put, but they did that thonking sound to make it seem like there was something in there. All right? So, you know, don't get any ideas, okay? And because, you know, dollar bills don't make that sound. But anyway, that it's, you know, it's it, when it's a collection, it's because you give, because it's between, again, what's between me and the Lord. It's not between personalities. It's with the Lord, okay? It is not determined on the basis of what you know you can give. Now, that's what something else we did last year. We prayed. I asked you to pray and say, now, Lord, what you want me to give? And the question is, as you look back on it now, did the Lord provide for you to give? Okay. Because if he is interested in missions, well, is he? He is. The heartbeat of God is missions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So loved what? The world. Well, if God laid that on my heart, then somewhere down the line, God's going to make the way to give me what I need to give to him. Kind of sounds strange, doesn't it? But it's true. Because there are some things that, you know, I made the joke before. I told you, you know, what my midlife crisis car is. It's a white Lincoln Continental. I've always lied. Never had one. Don't guess they ever will. Because I just, everybody gossip and say, that preacher got some money, don't he? He got a Continental, so I'm not even going to go there. But you know what? You know, like Dr. B.R. Lakin said, they told Dr. B.R. Lakin, Evangelist B.R. Lakin, and they said, you get a Cadillac, it'll ruin you as a preacher. He said, guess what? It didn't ruin my family doctor. So, I mean, you know, so it's like, you know, well, what is it that you're given? What is it that you prayed about and God is able to give you to give to the cause of missions, to the cause of reaching? Is it the will of God to give to missions? Sure it is. Is it the will of God that people be saved? Sure it is. So God's going to answer prayer because it's in his will, no doubt about that. Then it says it's not taking from your present tithes and offerings to your church in order to give. What we give is over and above tithes and offerings. Three levels of giving: tithes, offerings, faith, promise, missions, giving. Okay. How does it work? It works by faith. Each member contributes a certain amount which God leads them to promise on a weekly basis to the missionary program of the church. Now I say weekly because I asked last year for everybody to pray and to give. You may give. I said if you want to give once a month, that's fine. If you want to give once a week, that's fine. If you want to give twice a week, that's fine. If you want to give a substantial amount one time a year, that's up to you. But because it's not necessarily the church keeping the records, it's the Lord who keeps them. Okay? So we pray and we give as God so leads us. Then it says it works when it's in addition to their regular church giving. Somebody says, well, I just don't think I've got the money, preacher, to give to missions and tithes and all that. But you know, I think that I've seen through the years, and I think many of you would attest to this fact, that the more you give, the more God gives you to give, and then the more the Lord blesses you for you. It's just the principles, you can't outgive the Lord. And you can't. Impossible. But I found that people who are, well, look down at the bottom. It says 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And if we give like a tithe wad, that's how we reap. But if we sow abundantly, then we are blessed. We have an abundant harvest. The more seeds you plant, it's got to be a bigger return. Now, understand that when we give to the Lord, we're not doing it to say, okay, now God, I'm giving to you, now you give back to me. That's not right. But we say, God, if you will bless me and help me to give, and I believe you want me to give, God has told us to give that tithe, that 10%. Then God gives us, says you can give more, that's your offering, because it's his tithes and it's our offering. But then that faith promise missions is above that, because we're saying, now, Lord, I need you to show me, as we're praying, seeking the face of God, what do you want me to give, and what will you provide for me to give to missions? Because they're your mission, and they need help. So what do you want me to give, and what will you channel through me to give to those missions? That's the way we pray about this. So, again, it says it works by faith. It works when it's given in addition to regular church giving, and it works when the promise is made between the giver and God, between me and God, you and God. Notice it says, as the Lord provides, I will contribute. This says 2010, faith, promise, missions, giving. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And it says, in gratitude for God's gifts to me and realizing my responsibility to make the gospel known throughout the world, I'm responding to his leading in the following way. Now, I want you to consider three things. I want you to look back and I want you to reflect on how your giving was. If you committed this past year between you and the Lord to give to Faith Promise, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you don't have to do this today, but there's three things I want you to consider. Number one, if you for the next year are still willing to give the same amount that you gave this year, then what I'd like for you to do is to put that on this sheet. I'll do it tonight. Yeah, that's number one, if you're going to keep on. Because the reason is because we can't, if we're budgeting, if we're checking our budget, watching things, we don't want to overextend ourselves. Okay? So if you're willing, if you're giving, let's say, let me just throw out a amount, you're giving $10 a week, let's just say that. Or you're giving $10 a month. Or you're giving $20 a month. Whatever. And you still feel like God wants you to give that same amount, and God's blessed you this year, I want you to put that down. If for some reason you can't give anymore, then we need to know. And I'd like for you to write down on the paper. Because remember, no names go on this. But if you say, well, preacher, I can't give this year. I couldn't give very well last year, and I can't give. Well, that'll help us to understand what we need to do this year. And then the third thing is God may lay upon your heart and say, you know, you did all right. You gave $20 last every month. Maybe you should give $25 now. Maybe the Lord would lead you to increase that. But the thing is to pray. To see what the Lord wants us to do. Now look at the bottom, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And you know what that means. That's spiritual riches, not wealth and riches. And then Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, Brother Julius, one more time, sir. I'm going to give you something that Miss Irma fixed up at my request. I want us to see where we're standing with our missions. Okay? Where are we standing with our missions? And I'm going to take some time and discuss this with you and kind of let you know where things are. So I give Brother Julius just a minute to look that up, to pass that out, and we'll talk about it a little. Got one extra that you can give back to Ms. Teresa, that would be good. Okay, now I want you to look at the sheet. It says these are missionaries deleted since 2009. We do not support these missionaries anymore. Let's go through them. The first one is Reverend Dan McCoy. For whatever reason, we received a letter in which Dr. Lyle McCoy said that Dan McCoy was not in the ministry. I read that letter to the church. That was not long after I got here. So we do not support, at their request, Dan McCoy anymore, because he is not in, as far as I know, the gospel ministry. No details were ever given to that. Bethel Baptist Missions is defunct. There is no Bethel Baptist Missions anymore. Philip and Lori Hunt, this was the gentleman that, I've got to say this kindly, he came into churches talking about the ministry, said in his letter that he always used the King James. No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. He didn't say that. He did not disclose that he only used the New King James. That's what I'm trying to say. So you remember we dropped his support because he does not use the King James Bible. Brother Kenneth Cates passed away. Brother Ralph Neal came home from the mission field. Gideon's International started doing different translations. I think the NIV, for instance, pulled the plug on that. Christian Law Association is a strange thing because we have sent 6 checks to Christian Law Association. They have never been cashed. We don't know what's going on. Sister Irm has called them and talked with them. They say, well, send it to us. We'll check it again. And 6 checks have never cleared, please. CLA, we don't know where they are. So something's wrong there. But I don't know if they've been lost in the mail. I don't know what's going on. I think Brother Buddy told me that he sends offerings to CLA and hasn't had a bit of problem with them cashing his checks. But for whatever reason, these 6 checks have never come back. So we'll just have to see about that. Brother DeWeese, if I'm not mistaken, their ministry, that was the ministry to the Orientals. That ministry is no longer in existence, and their health made them step down. Luke and Hannah Townsley stepped down for health reasons. Then you remember we talked about the 4 mission boards, and some of those were questionable, such as Baptist Mid-Missions. And so we just voted as a church to get rid of that. We did add 2 missionaries, and the way we talked about that last year was that if people wanted to let their offerings, their faith promise, go to a missionary, that we could do that. And then we had suggested that Brother Fry and then Brother Fred Daniel be given support through people that requested to do so. All right, total missionaries in 2009 were 41. There were 9 deleted if you count the mission boards themselves. Well, no, I'm sorry. 9 missionaries themselves. 4 mission boards deleted, added to, that brings us to a total right now of 30 missionaries that we support as a church. Now, let me tell you what I want us to pray about. We need to have a goal with our missions, and this is what I want us to do. I want us to pray about, and I would like for us to get all our missionaries up to monthly status. We have some of our missionaries, and Miss Irma says it's really not going to take much. But most of our missionaries are being supported right now every month. We still have some that are only getting support every other month. What we need to pray is that God will help us to get all our missionaries straight across the board every month support. And to do that, you'll notice what she put, to fund the 30 missionaries each month would take $365 a month in missions giving. Now, I went to the back and I got the missions report off the back board. Let me read the past several months what the missions deposits have been. Month of August, $390 was deposited in missions. July, $368. June, $269. May, $351. April, $324. I read that to you just to say, like the old serpent said, we're in striking distance. Okay. So this is what I'd like to see us pray about doing and watch and see, and this is why I'm going to say, if God has blessed you this year in your faith promise giving, if God has blessed you and you've been able to give, then I'm going to ask you to keep giving. And if God lays upon your heart, I'd like for you to pray about it. God lays upon your heart to increase a couple of dollars or something like that. See if that would be God's will. And if it is, we'll see what happens and see if we can get all our missionaries. Because that's my goal for this next year, is for us to get our missionaries straight across the board every month. And she says that's the amount that can be done, and we're really right at the door. So if you'll make that a matter of prayer and see what the Lord... And if you'll take this sheet, and when God gives you the peace to do it, you said there's an amount that you know that you can give, just like last year. Put down what that is. Don't put your name on it. Just You can fold it up, hand it to me. I won't look at it. I'll put it on the desk and look at it later and just see what the Lord lays on your heart to do. We had a wonderful missions revival. The two mission revivals, one with Brother Fry and one with Brother Martin, both of great missionary revivals. And those men of God brought great messages. But you know what was great too is to hear those missionaries and to listen and see what God's doing in their lives. I mean, those men and women are believing God and believing God for miracles. And I'm talking about biblical miracles, not this fake, phony stuff. And so we need to just pray about those things. All right, let's do this. Let's close tonight and then we'll have our offering. But let's have prayer. And let me have two people that would volunteer to pray for missions tonight. There's two people. Is anybody would be willing to pray for missions tonight? Men or ladies? Anybody? Brother Bill? Thank you for volunteering. There's somebody else that'll volunteer. Not going to be here long. We're just going to pray both. Ask two people to pray for our missionaries. Pray God will bless our church. Because I do believe this. I believe God will bless a church that's a blessing to missions. I believe that with all my heart. Seen it through the years. Dr. Harold Seitler used to say, he said, when we got in financial trouble, we took on a missionary. And that's not a bad rule. All right. Brother Bill, why don't you pray, and then when you pray, I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the privilege to pray. We ask you to give us wisdom and direction. Lord, there is a world that's lost and dying out there. There are men and women that's trying to reach them for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that this church has, in 46 years of ministry, has reached out to missionaries. May you help us to keep on doing that. And Lord, enable us to do that. Send us workers, send us helpers, so that we can be senders and send missionaries around the world. Help us to reach our goal of getting our missionaries up to monthly support across the board. And help us that we may have faith to give and to trust you. We pray, God, that you'll give us wisdom and direction. Bless us as we go home tonight. And thank you for loving us. And thank you for the privilege of being in your house. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to ask Brother Johnny to come up. Poor old Julius, I worked him to death. He's been up since 6:30 working in the desk. We'll let Brother Johnny do the offering for us. And we'll just let you hum. That way Miss Teresa won't have to come up here. We'll just go hum, hum, hum. What? Oh, well, I'll share that. We got a check in the mail this week. Thought y'all might be interested in this. Got a check. This is from Pam and Steve Fannin that were with us Sunday. And they sent us a check for $120 for the Brunswick student. So, they came last year. I don't know if you remember, they came last year and enjoyed the stew so much. And they said they wanted to help. So, that's $120. What's the usual budget for that? Is that about that? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. All right, praise the Lord. Okay. Go ahead, bro. You prayed. Let's go right in. All right, anybody going to thump the plate when you go by? That did it. All right. Thunk it again. It's a heavy dollar, wasn't it? All right. Okay, have a good evening. Lord bless you, and we'll see you Sunday, Lord willing. Oh, I want to say one thing. Thank you again to everybody. Homecoming was very successful this past Sunday. We had a good day. And I'm wrong, but I really think that's the biggest spread of food I've seen here since my third homecoming here, as far as my being here. You ladies did an outstanding job. And thank you for that. And we're still eating on homecoming food. And so thank you for such a hard work that you did. Big offer? Oh, okay.